Welcome to the Simply Authentic podcast, where we hope to embolden you with discipline, personal growth, and abundance to live your most authentic life. Welcome back to the Simply Authentic podcast. I'm Tanya Murfin.
And I'm Angie Mullings. And we've been talking about our pillars to success.
Yes.
That's what we've had. Our very first pillar was about customer experience. Mm-hmm. Our second one was about time management mm-hmm. and being organized.
Correct.
And today we're going to tackle our third pillar of peak performance, which is communication. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, communication is this big, broad topic.
It is.
And we may get to a point today that we're going to stop and carry this over into a second episode.
Yep.
We're going to kind of feel that out as we go along. We don't want to overwhelm you with a ton of information all in one. We'd rather kind of break that up and make sure you get the most out of what we're talking about. But, you know, if we're, there's lots of ways that we communicate, right? We communicate personally, we communicate professionally. Mm-hmm. In our brokerages, we have a couple of different subjects of who we communicate to, our agents. So we're communicating this internal message in terms of culture and how we're going to treat clients and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then we have this external communication to our clients, and our agents are representatives of that. And so we need to make sure we're training them and making sure that we're communicating effectively mm-hmm. because it, you know, if you're just talking, if we're just talking at you mm-hmm. and we're not listening, that's active communication. When you're talking back to us, that's part of the communication process. And so, mm-hmm. and I think a lot of times we tend to talk and not listen. Mm-hmm. And that's what communication truly is. So we're going to get into some different types of communication and get some examples of those. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yes. Some things that come to mind for me, Angie, in having a brokerage and having to be kind of the HR piece of that, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. along with the just being a broker and the hat that, you know, we wear to just be the broker and answer questions and problems and problem solve and stuff.
Right.
Is that what you said about listening is so true. And I would add to that transparency. Mm-hmm. So if you and I prepare a meeting for our offices and we are just talking at them and not maybe listening to their feedback during that discussion, whatever the topic is, because probably like your office, you want them to take something away with sure. value each mm-hmm. time you have a meeting. Otherwise, mm-hmm. you're wasting their time.
Right.
And your time. Exactly.
Yeah.
And guess what's going to happen? They're not going to show up.
Right.
They're going to stop showing up.
Right.
So I think you and I being transparent with them is the most effective kind of communication, but also getting to hear their feedback of what is actually happening to them in the workplace and giving them tools to take back with them in their practice to use effectively so that you have stronger contracts, so that you have better conversations of transparency with your buyers and sellers.
Mm-hmm.
And along with that communication also creates this big bubble of culture in your office.
Right.
And we've had a podcast before that has talked about culture and building culture and ways to do that. And this is more on the topic of communicating that culture
right.
in our offices.
Right.
And I know we both have worked on that mm-hmm. from the get-go. It's mm-hmm. been a very important point for both of us mm-hmm. inside of our brokerages.
Yes. A couple of points in relation to listening, it's sort of about reading the room. Mm-hmm. I just heard a conversation about this the other day about we prepare our weekly meetings or whatever, anywhere if you're out there and you're responsible for planning a meeting, mm-hmm. you have, hopefully you've thought about what your agenda is, what mm-hmm. the topics are that you want to cover. And like you said, nobody at this point in our careers I don't want to go to another meeting unless it holds some kind of value.
Exactly.
And respecting other people's time, making sure that you stay within a time frame, whatever that you set the expectation for that. Mm-hmm. But let's say you get into this meeting and all of a sudden, if you're reading the room and people are tuning you out, maybe you don't have the topic mm-hmm. that really they want to hear. Mm-hmm. So not just gathering feedback by asking questions. Any good presenter or leader of a meeting is going to have their agenda again, mm-hmm. but they're going to ask along the way, does that make sense? Or mm-hmm. what questions do you have about that? Or, you know, it, in other words, inviting feedback. Mm-hmm. But in addition to that, depending on the room that you're talking to, you really have to be able to read the room. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about different types of communication. One of those is being nonverbal. Mm-hmm. And if so, you're talking to a group of people and they are tuned out, they're on their phone, or they're slumped back, or whatever the case may be, mm-hmm. you're obviously not hitting the mark.
No.
And you need to be a good enough communicator, a good enough leader to be able to adjust, mm-hmm. to pivot, to mm-hmm. Maybe stop right there and say, did I lose you guys? What do you need to hear about this topic? Or is this just not of interest to you? Or
yeah.
do we need to, because again, don't want to waste your time. Do we need to go on and talk about something else? Mm-hmm. Or are you telling me, yeah, we got that. Now let's move on. You know, is that what that message is
right.
back to me?
Right.
So really effective, I think, communicators are ones that don't drone on, that they ask questions of their audience, and that they are in tune mm-hmm. with reading the room.
Agree. So you have to ask your question, and I think you and I both can probably give examples of what you just explained, being mm-hmm. in front of your group and you have lost them. Mm-hmm. You have either rambled on or you've picked a subject that you thought was important and they're all yawning and on their phones. Mm-hmm. And so the law of connection, if you're mm-hmm. talking and your audience isn't connecting, then you're not being effective. Mm-hmm. And essentially, you're wasting everyone's time.
Right.
And this is applicable with, you know, speakers. If you speak in front of a large group of people, if you speak in front of your team, you have a team wherever you work of 6 or 10 people or even mm-hmm. 3 people. Mm-hmm. The way you communicate is going to either be received in effective communication to the people that are in your group,
right,
or it's not. And
right.
if you read the room and there is no connection, your audience is disengaged, you have got to probably recorrect or correct mm-hmm. what you're doing. And for me, I think my example would be if I read that in the room, I ask a question. Mm-hmm. I stop maybe talking at them and I ask pointedly, I'll call on Betty or I'll call on Ryan and I'll say, mm-hmm. tell me an experience that you've had with this. Mm-hmm. And if, you know, he can't come up with one, then maybe Betty can. And to engage, I get them re-engaged by asking them questions.
Right.
I read this little blip, and it's so true. If you're focusing on yourself, you seek to gain attention. Mm-hmm. So if you and I are talking about our business and what happened with us, mm-hmm. maybe we're seeking attention over that situation. If you focus on them, you're seeking to give information. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if you focus on others, you're making a connection.
Yeah. So true. Yeah. And it doesn't matter whether we're talking to our group, we're talking to a client. Again, I think that's so true about if you just drone on, it is trying to draw attention to you. You mm-hmm. You're having this conversation, whatever it might be, because you think what you have to say is the most important. Mm-hmm. Instead of, I know when we talk about sitting down with clients and having client consultations, the whole point of that is to find out what's important to them.
Correct.
And sure, they want to know about neighborhoods. They want to know about your town, especially if they're not from here. They want you to be knowledgeable. But here is where I think we miss the mark sometimes. And I've seen this with agents. I've seen this with different people. We're so focused on making sure everybody in the room knows that we know something.
Mm-hmm.
Like we have something valuable to share.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the conversations that fail, because if you want to, you know, if a client asks you a question, just simply, you know, what are the walking trails like in Springfield? Mm-hmm. And you say, oh, well, I happen to sit on so-and-so committee, and we have been working on the trail system for X amount of months, and I know, and you start name-dropping, and you start talking about, they're definitely going to tune you out,
they're because
that's
out.
They that's not they what they want. That. No, they want to know about the trail system and what your experience is, you know. You should be able to wrap that answer up in a mm-hmm. three or four sentences and not put the focus back on you, because mm-hmm. that's not what they're mm-hmm. asking. They're asking mm-hmm. you for information that will help them make a decision about whether or not they want to buy a house in Springfield, because the trail system and outdoors mm-hmm. Are very important to them.
Yep.
So knowing that we have an extensive trails system and that there are lots of opportunities for outdoor activities in our really, you know, within Springfield.
Right.
That's important stuff for them to know. The fact that you served on some committee that helped develop that, it's just attention seeking.
Mm-hmm. It's noise.
It is.
You know.
Yeah.
So the different types of communication, let's talk about that. So
yeah.
Verbal. Mm-hmm. So the example you were just given mm-hmm. or giving. So that is, you're answering a question.
Right.
I know I was taught numerous years ago, just in real estate related conversations, when you're sitting with your buyers or sellers, that often we talk too much.
Mm-hmm.
We start on a tangent and they say, what's the market like? And we talk for 30 minutes about the market. That they don't want to hear a 30 mm-hmm. minute
dissertation about the
market.
They
sure
no,
don't.
They
no.
don't.
And mm-hmm. all your recent experiences and
yeah.
your failures
yeah.
and your successes. And
yeah.
You're there to listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be better about that.
Mm-hmm.
Listening is key when you're meeting with someone to buy or sell, and being able to know your facts.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're asked a question, pointed question about price, mm-hmm. we need to be ready for that above all things,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
To know what we would price it at, and you better be strong and confident in your answer, right?
Right.
If they ask you about the market, we have lots to talk about these days in our market mm-hmm. and what's happening, and you better be strong and confident in your mm-hmm. answer. And mm-hmm. I think that what I've learned over the years with competing listings for myself, and also trying to teach my own agents mm-hmm. how to compete better on mm-hmm. listings,
mm-hmm.
is that their confidence is going to be how they carry themselves,
mm-hmm.
how they sit in a chair, how they answer questions. We've been taught to mirror your clients. So if
right.
your clients are sitting up at the table like this, you better be sitting like
mm-hmm.
that. You better
mm-hmm.
not be sitting back like this.
Right.
Because that is a strong and confident person coming at you that is business.
Mm-hmm.
This is business.
Mm-hmm.
So we, over the years, have, you know, been teaching over and over how to, these objections that you are going to get in your listing appointments, how to be good at that,
mm-hmm.
and how to let them believe that you are the professional, that they could not hire anyone better than you.
Right.
And you and I have lost listing appointments, and we've won listing appointments
mm-hmm.
before.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I know that a lot of that confidence comes with communication.
Sure.
And being
sure.
able to communicate effectively, verbally, because a lot of that communication is going to be verbal for
mm-hmm.
us, right?
Right, right. Yeah, and that comes with confidence and being taught. And to that point, for all of you leaders out there that, and us as brokers, some of that, when you're talking to, let's say that you've got an employee, for us, an agent that is struggling, and you think, okay, it's my job to help them with whatever they're struggling with.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes we make assumptions about what they're struggling with.
Sure.
And rather than go at them with, I've noticed that your sales are down.
Mm-hmm.
And then going into a tirade about, I think you should be doing this, and I think you should be doing that, and I think you should, you know, you need to expand your prospects. You need to start, you know, generating some calls. You need to do some pop buys. You know, if we're going at it like we have all the answers without asking them what the problem is, then we're missing the mark. We think we're being a great leader because we're giving them tools to help them, but maybe they're already employing those tools. Maybe it's a problem at home.
Yes.
Or maybe it is something bigger that they're dealing with. So I think it's a better approach when coaching and counseling your staff, your, you know, agents, whatever it might be, as you bring them in, you know, you set up a time to talk to them so you're both coming to the table prepared. I also, on this point, don't think it's fair to just pull somebody aside and say, I know your sales aren't down and you're not, you know, your sales are down and here, maybe you need to do this and maybe you set a time and you say, and you set the intention.
Right.
So that they know that when they come in, you're going, your intention is, I mean, if you... Hopefully the people who work for you or work with you know your heart. They they know that you're trying your best to help them. And they're going to hopefully come prepared to that meeting with you're going to come prepared as the leader with some tools you think might help them. But first you've got to understand what it is that, that is causing this disruption in their production level or whatever it might be, or they've missed several meetings. Okay, why have they missed several meetings? Maybe that's just a phone call, because I think there's said something to be said with in what environment you communicate as well. So, you know,
different people need different things.
Exactly. And if you say, hey, Tanya, I need you to come into my office. We need to have a conversation. What is that? How does that make you feel?
Fear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is the first thing that comes to mind for me. You know, I want to say, well, why? What's wrong?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
What's going to happen? You know, and then you've created perhaps more pressure on somebody who was already feeling pressure.
Right.
Whereas if you say, hey, I thought maybe we could sit down and talk. It's been a couple of months since we talked, and I thought maybe you'd like some time to sit down and we can kind of work through, you know, maybe you say, I think it's okay to say your production's a little off. Is there anything I can do to help? Let's just sit down and have a conversation and talk about that. And then they're prepared for what, you know, you're not going to spring something surprising on them.
Right. Yeah.
You're actually setting the stage for the conversation you're going to have, and you're there to help and make suggestion. But when they get in the room, you can't assume that you know what the problem is.
I think we spend a lot of our lives assuming that we know what's going on with people, why they're, you know, why they seem to be non-productive now, why they stay at home more than come to the office more, why they're maybe disengaged with some friends that they used to be very engaged with. I think it's you know, this is for everybody. You need to stop and listen and maybe take a cue of, hey, let's go grab a bite to eat. You want to go have lunch? You want to go have coffee? Because if you really care about this person, you're going to want to hear what they have to say before you start thinking, well, they've just gotten lazy. They something major must be going on. They could have a health issue. You know, that is not maybe major, but like IBS.
Yeah.
I give that example because I've suffered from that at different points in my life because of stress. And you know, it might have kept me home longer in the mornings because I couldn't leave the house. You know, something that simple. Although that's a random
example.
Yes, thank you. But it's true. Like, I might not be able to meet you at 9:30 if I've got IBS, Angie, because I got to have longer time at home. Anyway, a little humor there. So let's go to nonverbal communication. So... nonverbal, what are all the things involved in that? Your tone, okay? Your tone of your text, your tone of your voice when you pick up the phone and you call somebody. Your body language, your hand movements, your eye contact or your lack of eye contact, right? Consider your audience and make sure that you... if you're going to have a hard conversation, that you're checking your body for mm-hmm. how it's going to come across if you're in person. Mm-hmm. And you and I have both heard when someone picks up the phone and is smiling, you can hear it on the other side.
Absolutely.
Or when they pick up the phone and they're like, ugh, I don't want to talk to this person. Hello. You know, your tone is going to come across differently.
Right.
And those nonverbal cues, so let's use, for example, you call me into your office and you say, hey, Tanya, can you come in here about 10:30? I have something I want to talk to you about. Mm-hmm. No explanation, no reason. I think your tone is a little cranky. I come in and I might sit across from you and immediately cross my arms.
Right.
So that verbal or nonverbal cue is that I'm pissed already or I'm apprehensive already.
Right.
Or I'm anxious already. And you haven't even started. You might say, hey, I want to plan the Christmas party and you're a great party planner. Can you help me? You know, it might be something completely unrelated to anything, you know, that I think you're being the boss over me about.
Yeah.
But I think that when you're, I've learned this, and especially in the last, you know, 5 to 10 years of my life, when I'm having a conversation with someone that might be getting heated, or maybe I just know I disagree. Like they've went on this big dissertation about politics, and I know that I'm on the other side of what they're talking about, and I've already like I feel tense. I carry my anxiousness in my shoulders, my back's locked up, my neck's locked up. If you find yourself in a meeting with a friend, with your boss, with your coworkers, and you're if you'll do a body scan to begin with and throughout, because maybe you don't, you know, you walked in and you feel great, but now you're halfway through and you're like, good golly, I don't even know who this person is.
Right.
Do a body scan of how you physically look, because then your reaction to them will be part of what your actions are in your body movements, right?
Right.
It feeds our brain.
It does. It does. I think we can really dig into this nonverbal, because I think it could possibly be more important than the words that we say. Because I know, you know, we kind of started this conversation a little bit with Terry Tucker. We did an episode with Terry Tucker and we talked about really her focus was about culture, but some of that is communication. And she gave an example of a front desk person that with a company that she was working for with. And this person was a great employee, but she had, I have to think about the initials, resting bitch face. Okay. RBF.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
And, you know, unfortunately, some people just have that, and they don't even know it most of the time, I don't think. But through a series of working with her, she was able to really coach her through that and get her to be a better employee. So absolutely what you said about answering the phone. People know if you're smiling, if they have interrupted you, if you were in the middle of something else, and then they feel like they're second rate because of the way you answered the phone. And now you've already set the tone in a negative tone because of the way you answered the phone. Also, I believe, and this is unfortunate, that a lot of people out there have great ideas. Unfortunately, they don't really know how to convey those ideas. Again, if you are somebody who feels like you are second rate in the room or second rate in the conversation and you're not being taken seriously, I think the compulsion is to try to spout how much you do know. Well, again, back to I served on this committee or I, you know, whatever. And so you're overcompensating for and the point is not about it's not about you, it's about getting something done, something accomplished. And you if you've got a great idea, but all you can talk about is yourself and where you served and what you've done and it's all about you, people are tuning you out. And then on top of that, if your facial expressions are resting bitch face, or, you know, just you look like you're angry and you've come to the table against a bunch of opponents instead of people that you might be able to rally around you to help you achieve some particular goal, you've just now shot yourself in the foot because of all of your nonverbal cues of, you know, maybe arms crossed and your facial expressions not conveying that you are honestly trying to accomplish something. Your facial expressions are conveying that this is about me and it's my idea and, you know, this is what I want to do.
Exactly.
And it's all about them. We could talk about an hour about the word use of the word I.
Yes.
Versus we.
We.
Or team or, you know, when you're trying to get somebody on your side to do something.
Agree. Just something simple that I thought about in just normal everyday life, and everybody can relate to this. The friend or the colleague or the person that you know from whatever point in your life that you run into or you have to work with every week or whatever it is, that you can't get a word in edgewise because all they do is talk about themselves and how great they are and how, or maybe how awful, how awful their family is and how awful this is and how awful that is. And they never once stop to allow you to talk. And they never once say, how are you doing? I've talked long enough. How are you doing? I could name off five people right now that it's impossible to be around them. And if you're that person, take a look in the mirror. We need you to engage with us as much as you want us to engage with you. And some people, I just don't know they're capable of it.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't either.
That example just kind of goes to just a sidebar of the examples you were just giving of it being an I conversation versus a we.
Right.
And, you know, you and I are not perfect at communication.
No. We are, Nobody is.
We are professionals, but we have lots to learn.
Right.
And certainly, the older I get, the more I learn about how I failed in communicating with people over the years, and I feel like I'm so much better than I used to be, but I have bad days, and I have off weeks, and, you know, that things just don't go as smoothly, maybe, and maybe I was too curt about that answer, or maybe I didn't give them enough of my attention, or maybe I didn't ask about their family, you know, so.
Yeah.
We're all capable.
Oh, yeah, and we all make mistakes, and we're not going to be perfect at communication. But to the point about it being about me and I in a nonverbal way, you can tell the way that someone carries themselves if they are looking for a fight, if they are about me. You know, it's all about me and what I know. You can, those nonverbal cues, and I guarantee you that most people who have a really difficult time with this, unless somebody's brought it to their attention, they have no idea.
Nope.
They don't know. But you can obviously tell when somebody's itching for a fight, or they come in knowing they're going to probably need to defend their position, or that not everybody's on the, in the room is going to be on their side. So instead of coming in open with open posture and not having your arms crossed and checking your face, am I, you know, put some smile on your face,
right?
That will help. And letting people understand that you are open for dialogue.
Yes.
Because that's a lot of what we could, again, this could be a whole other episode, but that's a lot of what's going on in our country today, that we are not open to communication, and we come in with our ideas or our thoughts, or we alone, for whatever race or nationality or sexual orientation, we are the superior, that we shut people down, and we can't have that important dialogue. So I don't think you can put enough emphasis on nonverbal communication. I think it's something that we all really need to take a look at, and I think we need to be more honest with each other, and especially if we were to walk into a room and I could tell right away that you know, we're let's say we were we were trying to get somebody to be on the podcast. Mm-hmm. And I can tell when you walk in the room that you've had a rough day and you're already going to be, you know, probably don't have time to be here. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think it's my responsibility to say, Tanya, just take a breath. Mm-hmm. Just take a breath. Just calm down. It's going to be okay.
Are you talking about today? I feel like you are. I feel like you're calling me out.
Not calling you out, but I think you would yes. want me to do that. I think when you're yes. you're in a room with people that you're supposed to trust, that we ought to have the open type of communication where we help one another.
Exactly.
If I come in with, you know, RBF,
right.
then I would want you to tell
yeah.
me
yeah.
that. And that's just how we get all. That's how we all get better, and
exactly.
and bringing things to and if you're open and willing to learn, that's not going to hit you wrong,
right?
Right? It's Agreed. Not going to,
yeah.
because somebody has recognized that you're having a rough day,
yes.
or you're just not being yourself, or you've got this great idea and you've tried over and over and over to communicate it, and you're failing.
Right.
Somebody. Hopefully you have somebody in the room that's on your side mm-hmm. that would be willing to say, and you have to be open to that. You mm-hmm. you cannot take it as an insult, because if someone comes to you in all honesty and you know they have a good heart, they're trying to help you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we all just have to be take a breath and be mm-hmm. open to someone we trust, someone we know mm-hmm. trying to help us be better.
Agree.
Because we,
yes.
I would appreciate that.
Agree. I agree with that. Something I read along with the nonverbal communication part of this is to notice how your emotions feel physically. Mm-hmm. And you have to mm-hmm. stop and think about that for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're having an emotional reaction to whatever the conversation is,
mm-hmm.
notice how you're physically holding yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So are you energized? Are you bored? Are you happy? Are you frustrated? Are your shoulders hunched? Are your arms crossed? And identify where you feel that in your body.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always between my shoulders and in my neck when I get stressed and when I don't agree with what you're saying. Or maybe I'm just, you're stressing me out by what you're talking about. And I'm starting
yeah.
to get anxious about what's going on with your
right.
day or whatever, you know.
Right.
That we use body language alongside our verbal for the follow-up questions.
Yeah.
So you and I are big hand talkers.
Mm-hmm.
You can hear my watch hitting the table here as mm-hmm. I hand talk. We know each other well enough that we're probably going to notice the defeated shoulders or the
right.
arms
right.
crossed, pissed off look
mm-hmm.
or the
mm-hmm.
RBF face mm-hmm. and say, okay, what's up? What's going on?
Yeah.
You know, and most things we would just blurt out and say, I'm having a really bad day
yeah.
or whatever it is, you know,
yeah.
and
yeah.
you can take a breath and let's give it 10 minutes and let, you know, whatever.
Right.
So I think we, along with our verbal and then our nonverbal communication, a lot can happen in a situation with both of those things
mm-hmm.
that aren't intentional, and we just have to try to be better.
We do. And with every conversation, there's some kind of intent, right? You want to
mm-hmm.
try to accomplish something. You
mm-hmm.
want to try to, maybe you're trying to win somebody over. You're trying to sell a product or sell yourself or whatever. You can make or break that conversation in the first 30 seconds,
mm-hmm.
just again, by what you said, coming
mm-hmm.
in hunched over or, you know, just coming in with a posture that says, I'm right, you're wrong. It's
mm-hmm.
it's going to be adversarial versus
mm-hmm.
an open communication. You can sure ruin that quickly, and you haven't even opened your mouth yet.
Exactly. Yeah.
We haven't even gotten to written.
We
so,
haven't.
So
no.
we should cover written, and then we're probably going to have to take this up.
Yeah.
You know, in another
second.
Episode. We've got
yes.
a ton of other great information to share with you, but let's spend a few minutes talking about
okay.
written communication, because I feel like, and I don't want to pick on you poor millennials or you poor Gen X, Z, I don't know.
I don't know. I get them all confused.
Yeah. Your daughter's ages.
Yes.
Unfortunately, because of how they have grown up,
mm-hmm.
they don't have a lot of written communication skills.
Other than texting.
Yes. Yes.
So
yes.
many texts.
Abbreviated, you know,
Yeah, where's me
WTF out? And, yes. you know, OMG and, you know.
Right.
Yeah. yeah. So, and that's how they communicate. But yeah. but professionally, that puts you at such a disadvantage.
It does. It does. And going back to our business alone, and I have two daughters that are in real estate now, they've got to learn all of these ways of communication and how to best serve our clients. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. it, and it's taking me many, many years to get to the level that I'm at.
Sure.
And the understanding of what an email, what a tone in your email sounds mm-hmm. like, you know, mm-hmm. that somebody might pick up. If it's a negative conversation, you mm-hmm. have to be very careful about your tone in it.
Yes.
And are you being supportive? Mm-hmm. Are you being catty? Mm-hmm. Are you being curt? And mm-hmm. it's just so quick
yeah.
that they think you meant it hateful, you mm-hmm. know?
Right.
And maybe it was just that you didn't have time to write a big dissertation out to them today
right.
and you're headed to another appointment and you are throwing an email out just so they have the information. I've done that before on an inspection and boy, did I regret it. And my intention was, take a look at this. I'll call you later.
Yeah.
I got the biggest ass chewing mm-hmm. ever from this seller because, well, what do you expect me to do with this? And mm-hmm. I can't believe you'd send this to me without explanation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I thought I was doing her a service. And in the yeah. end, I should have waited
yeah.
until I had more time
right.
to actually sit with her mm-hmm. or get on the phone and say, get it in front of you. I've got it in front of me. Let's go through this together.
Right.
By the way, there's always stuff found on your house that you had no idea about. Mm-hmm. So take a breath.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've just learned by failure
yeah.
better skills to present a possible bad inspection. So,
right.
And the, going back to the text messages, how many times have you had a conversation with somebody and maybe it's taken a turn, started out okay, mm-hmm. taken a turn, and you hear a tone mm-hmm. in that text message?
Right.
Or somebody's told you that.
Like, yeah.
I'm, you know, once they call or pick up the phone, they're like, Angie, I don't appreciate how you talk to me. And you're mm-hmm. like, what? What do you mean? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I was busy that day. I was in between appointments and had to shoot you over a quick text.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we can come up with 100 different scenarios absolutely. In 5 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, written is so important. Being able to string together sentences that make sense, that
yeah. grammar.
That grammar, that drives me
yes,
nuts.
Yes, me too.
You know, it's important because, again, we're professionals. We want to present ourselves as professionals. And in some businesses, it's more critical than others. But, you know, in our line of work, we want to communicate however that client wants us to communicate. And sometimes it's email, which seems antiquated to today's really young
right.
agents.
Yeah.
They think everything should be handled via text.
Yeah.
And it just can't be. Some people need you to reach out to answer their email in mm-hmm. long form. You know, very rarely do we write out letters anymore. Mm-hmm. We don't use a lot of snail mail, but there are times like when you're asked to make a recommendation for somebody. We just, you know, recently had the awards event and all those awards were chosen because somebody filled out an application mm-hmm. and you could be graded on your level of mm-hmm. Information that you gave mm-hmm. and the way that you presented yourself on paper.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than how you look on social media. Trust me, not all decisions are made by the way you mm-hmm. look on social media.
Right.
If your application comes in for a job or an award or to be on a board and they see grammatical errors or mm-hmm. you're not conveying, you're not presenting yourself in the right light, mm-hmm. boy, that could cost you big.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, yeah. To me, well, in our business, written is important because many times we need a paper trail.
Absolutely.
But it also can get you in a big heap of trouble
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
if you have not communicated the correct information.
Right, right.
And with many, many other jobs and industries out there, I'm certain it's the same way. So we have to be we want a paper trail, but at the same time, we got to be careful what's in that paper trail and make sure we've conveyed the message or we've not left out part of the message or, you know, that we've been thorough.
I can't tell you how many times I have had an agent come to me with an issue and I said, how did you answer that? Do we have that in writing? And no, it was, you know, we had a phone call, whatever. I'll say, you need to follow that up with a text message or an email, something so that we have a paper trail of how that all went down.
Yes.
And again, if you don't get the facts right, that could lead to a big legal mess.
Yeah, it can. And that is a conversation that we have frequently with agents when they have something contentious going on is make sure you follow up with an email. If you have sat, even if you've sat in front of them and you are all on the same page and you think they understand, follow it up with an email so that you can reiterate what was said. They can go back and review it if maybe they got their facts wrong. Because let's be honest, we all interpret things completely differently.
Right.
You could hear it differently than I do, or maybe you practice it differently than I do. And so, that written communication is often necessary for a reminder to all parties of exactly what was said.
Right.
And what they agreed to or what they didn't agree to.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I think we will wrap that here because, again, we have so much that we could talk about in terms of communication. We hope that you, if you missed the first two pillars, we hope you'll go back so that you can kind of follow our progress of what we're trying to do here and truly give you some skills, share some skills, some lessons we have learned in trying to build our businesses and be at the best of our, the top of our field. And so be sure and revisit those.
Yeah. We appreciate Gershman Mortgage for hosting us, and we will see you guys next time.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to the Simply Authentic podcast. Be sure to hit follow so that you can see each episode as it pops up weekly.